Ashley.
Adiance.
Welcome to Love Is, I mean, tea time.
She's here, everybody.
Love Is Blind Times, tea time.
Exactly. Cheers to that.
No golden cups, but that's okay on the next one.
Oh my gosh, the golden cups. What about those golden cups, Ashley? Did you have to, do they tell you from the get-go, like, you only are allowed to drink liquids out of golden cups?
They in fact do. They literally do. I thought, like, well, during the pods specifically, and then, you know, for like rights reasons and things, if you're drinking anything else, that you just have to move it out of the frame, or sometimes they may blur it. But I assume, I don't know this for sure, but if they've got pre-approval, I think they show some, because I've seen a Gatorade bottle showing once.
Interesting.
So
what I'm mad about is that I can't buy these golden cups with like Love Is Blind underneath them, slash y'all get, you know, some money for it, being that y'all promoting these golden cups so much. But for those who don't know, Ashley Adiance, what season of Love Is Blind are you on?
Season 7, Washington, D.C.
The most stylish season of all.
It was a juicy season. A fashionista season.
It was for sure. For sure.
Totally. And for those of you who may not know, Love Is Blind is a reality show, dating show on Netflix that we are absolutely obsessed with.
Obsessed.
And it's the only reality show that I can get Raven to sit down and watch with me, because she isn't into reality, but we binge the hell out of Love Is Blind. And this season was delicious.
It was juicy.
It was juicy and fun and fashionable and all of the things. But Ashley, tell us how you decided to submit yourself for Love Is Blind. What was going on in your life where you were like, dating is so just not happening. I need to go into this experiment. Tell us.
Well, you know, I was sitting in my room one day and I had a girlfriend from high school that I don't even talk to on the regular, send me like a flyer. And I was like, she was like, oh, you'd be great for this. And I was like, what is this? Cause I had never, I'm not a reality TV show girl either, which ironically, but, so she sent it to me and I was like, oh really? So I sent it to my godbrother, who's like in tune with reality TV, and he was like, oh yeah, you should do it. And I was just wanted to make sure that it wasn't something like ratchet, or, you know, like something that was gonna like mess up my career, you know. So I was like, okay, I could do this, because it's like about love and like you get some girlfriends and like, you know. So I literally got out of bed and did my intro video in front of my closet door, like no makeup, no anything, just like, here goes nothing, let's throw it into the pot. What are the odds, you know, that they'll call? And then they call it, and then it's like a long, you know, over 6 month process before you're actually selected. And you actually don't know until like a couple weeks before you go, you know, that you're selected. So I was like, man, I'm buying all these fits. Y'all better select me.
Yes.
Y'all better select me.
Best fits of the pod, for sure. One of my favorite outfits of Ashley is she was wearing these green pants that I don't know if they had a zipper or not, but they just, they went down into a V and he's a little bit below the belly button. And she was like, nah, but I'm snatched. She was on point.
Yeah,
best outfits, best hair. Now, here's my question. For those watching, you're in the pods. Are you sleeping in the same building that the living room and kitchen is in, or do you go to a hotel after?
So it's funny, when I watched, because I was asking my godbrother, I was like, which season should I watch to kind of get the gist? And he was like, watch season 4. So I watched season 4. I assumed that they lived there, kind of like, you know, like a frat and like a sorority. So I was like, this would be great. But no, you're in your individual hotel rooms. You just report to set in the morning. So that's why each set per season kind of looks different for the women and the guys. So it's an actual like LA movie set, or, you know, show set. And you are there though. So like you go there, you eat breakfast, you can be in your lounge with, you know, lounge clothes. Cause as time goes on too, you may not have dates in the morning, depending on what your roster looks like. So you can like lounge around and then change if you want. We make breakfast, we chat, we drink, whatever. And then, you know, dating starts. So you're there from 8 a.m. And if you choose to stay for night dating, you're there all the way till 2 a.m.
Whoa.
So we just live, we like stay there, but we don't, you can sleep on the couch, but we don't have like beds there. We're in individual rooms. So that way you can keep the experience authentic. So we can't like chat about it behind the scenes. They can capture most of everything. and you know, no one's conspiring with each other or anything. So we're in our rooms until
when you start the process of dating, we obviously see that there are so many more people than we actually end up following as an audience. Are you actually dating like everybody?
Yeah. So in the beginning, from day one, when we started, I think, I don't know for the first season, but I kind of heard the chatter. It was 15 girls and 14 guys. So it already was an off number. So all of the girls kind of were like, what's about to happen here?
Yeah.
So from day one, you have almost like a speed dating round where it's 10 minutes. You get in, you get out, you find out what you need to know about the person, and you leave. After that first pod date, you chuck your list down to 8 people.
Wow. Wow.
So, for me, that was easy because, there were some people I was like, yeah, right. You know, but like great, great people, just not my people or my person. And so, I kind of feel like the name of the game is find someone, regardless if you could see yourself with them right at that moment, find someone you enjoy conversing with. Mm-hmm. Because at least, if nothing, you have a good conversation. So yeah, we all in the beginning do 10-minute rounds of each and every single person. But from there, you're chopped to 8. So if by chance, you're not selected by anyone, then that's your day one's your last day.
Wow. That's so okay. So I kind of want to go back a little bit and it'll blend it in with this question as well. You had never been on television before this, correct?
No.
And you are having such a personal experience in front of producers, stage managers, fake couches, gold cups, like
lighting, mini fridges in the corner.
Do you know what I mean? Like contour on a regular basis. I just want to know. What did you do for yourself, or what was the thought process to have such an authentic experience so vulnerably?
What did I do for myself? I will say one of the biggest concerns that I had was one, making sure I represented myself well and also could do the experiment as authentically as I could, while also representing the culture well. Mm. That was extremely important to me. And with that, that is a heavy crown to wear. So I wanted to make sure I was authentic, but that I also showed that we are not a monolith. So for me, that was a little nerve-wracking in the beginning. But honestly, after a while, it's so crazy. You really do forget about the cameras. Mm. And I think that people think in the pods itself, when you're having these funny conversations, these little litty conversations, that, you know, it's awkward. It's like a camera right here. It's behind a wall. So it's a glass wall, but it's that double kind of glass. So you don't, unless you can kind of pinpoint the camera through it, you don't really see it. So you're not paying attention. So there's a lot of times where you forget, you know, especially night dating, you know, you forget the cameras are there. But it is hard when I'm not a big crier. Shockingly, that you see me crying on TV. I had friends from high school writing me like, I've seen you cry more on TV than I have in your entire life. I'm just more of a cry over other people's situations and problems than my own. So it was a little off-putting at first to be like crying in front of strangers, but you genuinely get so engulfed in the experiment because you're connecting to everyone in there in a very deep way, even the girls, because you don't have your mom, you don't have your best friend, you don't have anyone but you, your thoughts, your notepad, and whoever's behind that wall, or in the lounge. So journaling and writing really helped me, and just try to like stay focused on my purpose of being there, but also trying to have fun and kind of trusting the women. And at one point I was kind of like playing chess, not checkers, and not really sharing like any of my dates, or like, cause I just, you never know, your closest person could be dating the same guy and he could be number one on her list and on yours. And now it's awkward. So that got a little tense, but for the most part, I did definitely rely on the women, and they relied on me as well. They kept saying, I was like, wise beyond my years, and like all these things. I would give them advice from what I knew. And yeah, that's kind of how I managed, honestly, and just trying to just be just myself, because I know from history has proven that if you show up as who you are, the people are going to feel it. You're going to feel it. You know, you're going to watch back. You're going to be proud of who you were there. And so, yeah, I just dove in with both feet.
Were you surprised at the feelings that you developed for both, like, the people you were dating and then the women in the house? Because I think as audiences, we are often stuck in the place of going, oh my gosh, it's only been 2 weeks. And we always hear people say, yeah, but it's 2 weeks that feels like, you know, 10 years. Like, we're so encapsulated in our life in this moment that you just can't help but develop this intimacy. But
it's like a lesbian relationship, you know, we get together for 1 year, but it feels about 10 years. You know what I mean?
But were you surprised by it?
My godbrother was like, child, who cares? He's like, he said the same thing. He's like, that's what the gay community is. I got a boyfriend again by next week.
Exactly.
He says that all the time. So he didn't think it was weird at all. I was a skeptic from day one. Me and another girl who I was really close with from the beginning, one of the sisters, actually, we both were kind of like, oh, like, you know, we're open to it. We're open. But like, I was in a relationship for a decade before I was single for almost 4 years. So I'm like, I take love very seriously. I don't see this ever happening for me. And then you get in there and start this electrifying conversation with someone behind a wall. Now you're doing corny things, like trying to touch the wall. And you just, you really do. And you know, I think it's because you're getting like-minded people together who are supposed to be there for the same purpose and the same reason. So we're not playing really any games like you do in the regular dating world. And so also you have a short amount of time to learn this person. So you're not really talking about your favorite color after day one. You're mainly talking about like your trauma, not only your trauma, the things you need to have the life you want, the things that make you who you are. And so you genuinely do feel like you know these people, you know the girls, you know the guys, and you begin to build deep, deep connections. Even some of the people who I didn't walk away with on the guy's side are some of my really good friends now, because you build it. It's so crazy because I wouldn't believe it if I went either, because it's like, how do you do that? When you put your heart on the line, anything is possible.
I can relate to it in the sense, it's very different, but I went to treatment, and when you're in treatment, you like get your phone taken away and you're just with these people. There's no family members. You're not calling them. And all of a sudden you're bonding with this group of people over this one common denominator. And you can be there for, you know, 3 weeks, a month, whatever it is, but you are essentially, when you trauma bond with a person, you just are connected in a different way.
And you connect with people even if you're not trauma bonding. On sets, on movie sets, on TV sets, you're with these people from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. sometimes, and you're going through these, well, I guess it is trauma bonding, emotional scenes or, you know, crafty and lunch, and you just create this bond with people. I can understand being inundated, blinders up, ready to go and move forward, which brings me to the question of, there's some interesting humans that like to stir the pot a lot when it comes to Love is Blind. There are some, I'm going to say, contestants / humans / casted people.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Sip your tea, Ashley. That like to just, one, come on television to be on television, to come to just stir shit. And I don't have a question here.
I have a question.
Thank you.
What do you think of the list? What do you think of the list that was found?
The list.
It came up at the reunion. Somebody had written a nice little list with I'm going to be the most famous person on Love is Blind. Like, do we feel...
How do you feel about ulterior motives when you had one focused motive of coming onto the show?
At first, I was like, what list? Because both of them like writing lists. You know, she left him a little list somewhere, too.
That's right.
Did she?
Yes, she did. Remember, she was like, you're not a man.
Yeah,
no,
it's awesome.
Wait, I don't remember.
I'll show it to you. Keep going, girl.
Why didn't I remember that?
Yeah.
Like, she left him a note?
Yeah,
or like,
she left him a list of things that he needed to do at the house.
So rude. She was hard on him.
Yeah, so in Cabo, So in Cabo, she left it allegedly around. It didn't, you know, mean for him to find it, but it was a list of things he could work on. And I remember saying to both of them, like, damn, y'all keep writing lists. Like, keep it in your head.
Hilarious.
So I'll say it's a smack in the face. It's a smack in the face when you feel like someone has ulterior motives and you came there and you were a skeptic and you really deep dove into this process and you gave it your all and, you know, didn't have any other motive besides just to enjoy the experiment. So what I found out, I actually found out during filming that he had created this list that he claims was some goals of his or whatever. And see, I like Nick D as a person. Would I date Nick D? Hell nah. You know, like he is who, you know how you just have to accept some people for who they are? He's one of those people like, oh, he's a bro.
You ain't got to accept it. You ain't got to accept it. I'm not going to accept it.
You know what I mean? That's true.
You ain't got to accept it.
You don't have to. You really don't. But if you want those people in your space, don't expect people to change unless they want to change, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I did think it was disappointing to know that he wrote down, you know, on his list that, you know, he wanted to become the most famous, you know, person on Love is Blind. He says that wasn't, you know, a real goal of his. He was just joking or whatever. Hannah took it really, you know, seriously. And I could see why she took it seriously, to be honest. To find something like that when you're that deep in is infuriating. I would have been livid.
Yeah, I would have been.
I don't care what your goals are.
Yeah. And really just like confused, I think, because you feel, I'm sure, betrayed. And I mean, anyone finding anything new about a person who you thought, it makes you start questioning everything they said to you and every moment you had with them and what you thought was genuine.
Yeah, but
we're
on television. This isn't a safe space. We act like it is, but this is a reality show. Yeah. I'm actually going to be more skeptical coming into a reality show about somebody falling in love with me because there are cameras and a lot of money on the line. Because we all, it's what, 18 seasons now? Shit, you gonna know you won't be famous off a show.
Oh my God, you sounded like Leroy all the way. You were just, excuse me, what? She was like, countryman.
She understood what I said.
I understood every word you said. I'm just like, you've stayed in that for a long time.
Because I can't understand sometimes people that are like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened when they're on television. Now, if we're not doing this on television, I guess just because of how I grew up and me being in the industry for as long as I have, I kind of understand that if there's a camera and a microphone is not a safe space. Anybody will say anything to make sure that either, you know, they're getting their check or they don't get fired. But then contrasting against people like you, Ashley, and I really do believe the girl who was in the military. Who was the girl who was in the military?
Marissa.
And there's a couple of other guys that I feel weren't there. Oh, and the guy who got his heart broken by your friend with the blonde brown hair, Tim. He didn't feel like he was looking for any type of fame. You know what I mean? You didn't look like you were looking for any
I'm going to say something about Tim. I have a really strong opinion about him.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the friendships that might have developed after the fact or whatever, I found him to be one of the things that I find scary about people. The black and white thought process and the intense rigidity and the amount of rage that I feel like I saw like him embodying in that moment in the breakup and then at the reunion. And that's also like a year out to still have that much just
she did
like,
too though.
I found her much more composed. I think that I just thought he was wild. I really did. I think that's like that toxic masculinity that people talk about where he felt like he was so correct. He had been disrespected. He couldn't believe the fact that he had been called a name and he just could not like soften and see her perspective at all. It
and
felt
she
really
couldn't
harsh.
Either. Let's be 100. She could not either. He was actually very composed. Ashley, just hold on for a second. We're having a conversation, right? He was very composed. He spoke his truth. And even though people were like, oh, he's rambling, that's how he felt. And what I want to say to that is I feel like sometimes guys get the short end of the stick because of their stature and that they're supposed to, you know, be quote unquote masculine, but men get their feelings hurt. And when men get their feelings hurt, they do turn into those little boys that couldn't cry when they were younger.
I'm not debating that. He cried a lot. He cried a lot.
He did cry. Leave that man alone.
And I'm not, no, he needs to go learn some real lessons. And I really feel like he does not know how to handle emotion, sensitivity, compassion, or understanding.
She does not know how to communicate. Ashley, help us out.
Actually, no, I've said the same thing about both of them. It's funny, at the reunion, you'll hear Tim say something like, this is just who I am. This is how I talk, right? And then he's like, but she needs to change because she talks over him. But then she's like, she doesn't like the way that he talks to her, but then she talks over him too. So I think that it was hurt feelings there. And there was never going to be a good communication Resolution. Style between them. They were oil and vinegar. I think that she wants to live her life one way. He wants to live his life one way. He's very Southern and she's very city.
That's what I felt. You know? That's why I said I liked him. I understand that Southern man.
And I like,
yeah, he's
can't, no. You know, yeah, I'm the vinegar yeah, so to she, that.
I'll say like she, I know for a fact that they hadn't spoken in a year.
Yeah.
Not even once. Every event we ever had as like a group, they have not, that was their first time laying eyes on each other at that reunion.
Okay.
So every emotion to man came back, to woman came back, right? So I think that's why it felt so tense too. And he has a way of being very stern and strong in his opinion. And standing on it 10 toes down, and so does she. And I think that's why it just would never work. Their sensitivity and their sweetness for each other that they had in the pod somewhere along the way transitioned.
Yeah.
In Cabo.
Yeah.
And we don't really know why. I still don't know why. I know little bits from each of them, and you know, that's my girl. So, you know, and I'm not a yes man. I'm not a yes man kind of friend. So if I ever feel some type of way or, you know, think that I could give a little bit of advice, I will offline with my friend. I'll never do it in public, and same with my man. But I do think that they both had, you should take something from this experiment, even if it's a little bit of growth. You know, you should take something that you learned about yourself or about how you love or about how you want to be loved. And I think that's what they should have done. Tim was my number two.
I like Tim, yo. Damn.
Tim was my number two. And I'll tell you why. Great conversation. Great conversation. Great laughs. But I know me. And the me that's me and him would have clashed too. Mm-hmm. We even have debates now. Whenever I see him, whenever they hang out, like if I crash on the guys or whatever, like we'll debate. He's a debative kind of person. So am I. So I just know that wouldn't have worked either. And I think that Tim says he wants like a strong woman.
He doesn't.
I don't know.
He doesn't need a strong
woman. No, that's the thing I was going to say. Most women will clash with him unless he finds a really submissive, passive woman. And I think that just what I have learned in relationships is you can't be 10 toes down. You have to be, and maybe you can on certain things, but honestly, it's like 5 toes down, 5 toes up, because you have to be open to understanding the experience and the ideas of another person. And especially like when you're choosing to marry or be in a long-term relationship with someone, even if you guys are coming from two totally different walks of life, you've chosen each other, you've chosen to go through life together, and now you have to commit to trying to understand each other and respect each other. And I think that that's something that you and Tyler do so beautifully. You guys have an amazing communication style. I feel like you are a couple that can inspire and teach a lot of people. I watched you guys go through things and I was like, wow, they're handling this really beautifully and really authentically and honestly. And to have a relationship like that, I think is a gift.
And I think, and we have that sometimes too. And then there's those moments where it's like, I even tell her, I will see when you are 10 toes down and I respect you enough to back up. Now you have to see when I'm 10 toes down and you respect me enough to back up. So then we can have those moments where we're, you know, having we're toe war right now, and
Raven's nightmare as a person who hates feet.
Sorry. Yeah, me too. I think I'm the same way. Like for me, I used to be very like my way or the highway. Like I'm always right. Like I was a victim for sure. So to see, rewatch myself handle certain moments where I could be a softer version of myself with Tyler, I was even shocked to watch that about myself. And it's something that I believe by me being abstinent for that year before filming and really doing a lot of self-work on myself really is what portrayed me in that light, because that's who I became, but that's not who I always was. Mm-hmm. And I just learned really, like you said, five toes, it's picking and choosing your battles, knowing when to stand firm, but like, this is something that's important to me. But if it's not really, you know, it's like, you don't need to, you know, harp on that. You know, pick and choose your battles is 100% what I learned.
Absolutely. It's super important.
I have a question. You have such a great head on your shoulders. You have a wonderful perspective on life. We got to kind of see your family a little bit. We see your mother and your father. They're no longer together. That's what the show taught us. But your relationship with your father, knowing what your mom and your dad went through, is so beautiful. Girl, can you teach me? Because I don't know how you just gave Joe. How do you do that?
Oh, man, that was a journey. And that was a road to get to that state. Because I am a, like, my mom and me, this.
Yeah.
Like, so close. She is my best friend. And to be able to get to a point in life where I could forgive him. And this is kind of what I meant earlier when I said accepting someone for who they are. Mm. Some people will die that way. Some people will die who they are. Some people will never change. And, you know, I hate to say this, but, like, from a certain point of generations back,
they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
God rest my grandfather's soul. Love that man. He died that way. You know what I mean? Like, that's some people will. They don't do a lot of self. They didn't even like work out. Like they didn't, not all, don't crucify me, but like, you know, like
yeah, no.
Some
yeah.
of the generations below, you know,
they're set in their ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with my father, I learned along the way that if I want any sort of relationship with him, I don't need him to be the man that I used to want from the cartoons and the TV, you know, movies and the rom-coms kind of dad. I just got to make him who he is. And that's my party friend. So that's why when people would say things like, oh, he hung the moon for him. I'm like, no, he didn't. We just cool. Like, that's my guy. You know what I mean? And you know, we don't have intimate conversations. We're not close in that way. We don't talk about feelings. We don't talk that much. When we linking up to hang, to go on a party bus or a yacht or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing. And like a lot of my friends growing up didn't even know him, you know? Mm. So it took a while to get to the point where I'm like, okay, now is the time where I've been through my own. I've lived 7 different lives already in 32 years. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, like put yourself in your parents' shoes when they were young.
Yeah.
Not everyone does everything they're supposed to. It's called grace. It's called forgiveness. It's called maturing. And that's what I did.
What but it sign was not are you?
Easy. Aquarius.
Aw, that's my mama.
You're an empath. You,
I am.
Yeah, I see that in you. Okay, pivoting a little bit, but you've lived all of these lives. You've had these experiences. You have this really solid, grounded head on your shoulders, as Raven just mentioned. Tell me about coming into this new world, though, of like overnight fame, being on a show that people just are obsessed with, and now what we all have seen, which
That's
is like,
breath.
I know, take a breath, girl. But just all the stuff that we see on TikTok, you know, all of that stuff, how has it been for you? How have you guys been handling it? It's a lot.
It's a lot. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, girl, you thought you was going to have privacy. You thought this, you thought that. You went on a reality show. I underestimated the hell out of that. I underestimated the fan base. I didn't know. And a God, I didn't know. Like, you know, people get some followers from this. You're not dumb. You watch, you know, you have social media. But I didn't know how engulfed people got in your life.
Oh, yeah, we loyal fans over here. Yeah.
But there's extremes, right? There's extremes of people who hate you and are evil and are mean or disgusting and despicable with the things that they say. But then there's people who love you so much, they fall crying when they see you. And that's an adjustment, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, oh my God, like, why? I don't know. Like, you know, but it's because they feel like they know you because they're watching your story and they or either gather pieces from your story that they can relate to,
yeah,
or that you help them with, you know? So that was a transition as well, just dealing with the negative and the extreme of the positive. And I mean, I've had people like, if you don't marry him, I swear to God, I will send you my therapy bill. I will never love again. I will. I'm like, well, thank God I did, because girl,
like, I can't afford that. I'm not into that. Thank you. I do not need that child on me.
Exactly. And then they're like, you know, oh, I hate you. I can't believe you married Tyler. Like, all this stuff that's going on about him. And it's like, hold on. It's been a year. So what's new to the world? It's been a year for me. I haven't had anyone come to me as a woman this year, or like anything. So to be bashed for your love, or to be bashed for doing exactly what the experiment is supposed to do, mm-hmm. which is fall in love sight unseen, outside influences, you know, not taking an impact on your relationship at all, is like, damn, like no one on the planet wants to be bashed for falling in love. Love is not something you even choose. It chooses you, kind of, you know, like it's a feeling, you know? And it was really hard, because in the beginning, I remember joking and being like, oh, I had like a note section in my phone where I would just write down all the mean things that he, you know, people could say. Even to like, if we're cooking and we post a video and like, oh girl, well, you know, he admits stuff, make sure he ain't leave no ingredients out, oh, you know, God. Like stuff like that. I would write down to like help myself cope.
Hilarious.
I'm like, no, they go worse than that. Like, yeah. they go deep. Like, so it started to affect me at one point. It was where I thought I would be able to laugh it off some nights, of like death threats and crazy things. It was definitely hard to absorb and navigate when it's just your real life. It's like, this is just my real life. And I'm not ever going to, like I said, if there is something that I want to reprimand my husband about, it's not going to be to the public.
Right.
It's going to be within our marriage. And some of y'all haven't been married, and it shows, because you don't, yes, I owe you, mm-hmm. in their words, I owe you explanations for things, but the cameras are off, right? This is my real life. That we owe you something to a certain extent, but we don't owe you anything past that. And there are things that will be dealt with within my marriage. But if you think for one second that I'm going to leave my marriage because you're going to bully me, what, into doing it? No. And so it's like, I don't know. I think that everyone, you know, has to not have a holier than thou mindset when it comes to us putting our lives on Front Street for the world to judge. Like, it's a very hard thing to do. Like I said, I underestimated the impact that I would have on people's lives. But it's like, I love the unwavering queens, the ones who like stick by me no matter what, the ones who still feel me and still support me because of who I am. And so the positive side of it has had its perks, and it's been appreciated.
Yeah, I think the social media element is so wild just in general. And Raven and I have obviously both in different ways and on different scales experienced trolls and, you know, people who will take a soundbite and run with it. And it's just wild. And I think, though, partially people are becoming more thick-skinned in a way, like you have to learn how to cope with it and deal with it and how to just like let things go. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that it does sit in you sometimes. And there are certain things that can hit you and get your mind going, because you are just human at the end of the day. And I've had my journey with that for sure. It's a journey.
Yeah. Or, you know, people will say, well, girl, we love you, we're not talking about you. But I'm like, you're talking about someone that's not only my husband, but outside of that, my friend. And like, that hurts me too. You know, yeah. It hurts me because I know him better than you guys. And I know, you know, the cast knows him better than you guys. And so I think that people think they could be in solidarity with me and against him, but it's like, that's not how marriage works.
That's one thing I can relate to on that, because something that is funny to me is some of Raven's fans will just hate on me, and they will, you know, there's been so many different things, but sometimes I'm just like, damn, you guys, you don't think that I know my wife? Like, where's the practical or the logic in your own mind? Because just because you have been a fan for X amount of years, like, I sleep next to this person. Like, I know what's up with her. Like,
she smells me.
Like, I literally know. So I think, you know, for you too, it's like having people just insert themselves and saying like this, that, or the other. I did hear something. I think, at the reunion, you were like, do you all think that like we don't have these conversations? Like, you think that the first time we're having conversations about X, Y, and Z is just here on the cameras? It's like people don't, I don't know. I don't know those types of people personally, but I'm always in awe of the people that really don't think critically or outside of the set.
Because you guys, let's yeah,
okay.
Let's,
the pro will break it down for us.
No, but I'm
Ashley.
Just saying, let's be honest about it. There's something different between a movie star and a television star, okay? Mm-hmm. A movie star is on this big, huge screen that is never in anybody's house. They have to pay $20 for and they're massive sized. Okay, that's a huge star. That's a Tom Cruise. Now, you come to television. It's a smaller screen. You're watching in your pajamas. You have tea. You watch it however many times you want to. The way the editing and storytelling is going, it is a riveting type of story. So like we get caught up in stories and books, people get caught up in your life and they forget that it's reality.
But the thing about Ashley's situation, even different from yours or from Tom Cruise's, because that there are fanatical fans for Tom Cruise. You have fanatical fans. The difference too, and where I think the new fan and the new generation of like, you know, influencer / reality star fame is that people have an even harder time understanding that like, When they obsess over Raven, right, there is that attachment to...
They're not obsessing over me. They're obsessing over my character then it projected on me, which is what I was saying about her.
I know, but they don't do that with reality stars. That's where it's even more intimate and even more fanatic because they think to themselves, this is their real life. With you, there's a little bit of a crossover because Raven is actually your name. And so there's more of an intimacy building versus just like... you know, Kate Winslet playing Mare. That's so removed from the actual person. But like reality stars, influencers, you're just Ashley. And so people are like, okay. I know her. Like, I know her. I get her. Yeah. She's like me. She was not famous. It's like that level of intimacy is so huge developed between people and reality stars. It's a different level of like fan comprehension of you.
Yeah, it's way different. Even like sometimes I very rarely clap back at people. I try to just let go, like God, most of the time. But there are some times where I have a day and I'm like, oh, you got the right one tonight. And then I'll say something back. And then when I say something back, they're like, I'm sorry, I never thought you would see this. Like, I was just upset. And it's like, yeah, but like, come on, like, think before you send. It's like, this is my real life. And it's like, I'm being berated. I'm being bashed on a daily basis for just loving someone.
Yeah.
Not everyone we love is perfect. That doesn't, like, you know, like, we don't all have this rom-com story. That's just not life. Life be life in.
Exactly.
Life for all of us, you know? And it's like, they don't think, though. I really don't think they make the connection sometimes. It's like, I'm going to say this to you because you pissed me off and I can't believe you're running your life this way and you need to do something about it now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's like, no, Sarah, I'm not.
Not Sarah.
Not Sarah. No, it's wild. It's wild. Does the show support you at all through this and how to handle such things?
Yeah. So in the beginning, we have like coping skills calls and kind of like a specific person that we have as a resource to reach out to when things get hard, as well as paid therapy. I actually never been to therapy, but not because I think I'm better than or anything. I usually find my therapy in like self-help books and things versus like actually going and sitting down, but I am going to go just because I want to see how it is and just kind of get an outside opinion on a couple of different things. And I think that it could only help and never hurt. And I'm a full supporter of going and get whatever assistance that you need in life. And I know, you know, a lot of the girls have been in therapy for years and said that they really enjoyed it. And just getting kind of an outside perspective, it just finding a therapist is a whole nother. I was on there like, damn, this is hard. But yeah, they do make sure that you have a, you know, a kind of an on-call resource in case, you know, things ever get overwhelming. And it's crazy because I'm the strong friend. Like, I'm the friend that you call. I'm the strong family member, too. Like, my adult family members call me like I'm not one of the grandkids. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. so for it to affect me, it was like, yeah, it had to be pretty bad. Yeah.
Let's talk about edge control. Now, what product do you use to keep it fried, dyed, and laid?
So I use, to control frizz, I use the BioSilk. And then I use, instead of edge control, I usually use that Sebastian White kind of hairspray.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, like, put it on, like, the edge control brush and then slick it down. And then sometimes when I do use edge control, I use that, is it Color Something? I use a couple of different ones. Like, I don't have one that I'm, like, locked in with that I love for edge control. But I don't, what I know I don't do is use a lot of it. Because it gets, like, cakey. Mm-hmm. So I usually just use hairspray as edge control. And then, like tie a scarf around my edges and make sure that's, you know, laid. And what else do I use? I use, like, argan oil, things like that. I just don't like things that leave residue or films on my hair.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It was absolutely beautiful in that whole entire series. And I've watched mm-hmm. season one to now, and there's a list of three people in our culture whose hair has been on point. Yeah. Like,
I was going to say, you represented the culture well, Ashley. That was your plan and you did it.
You did that all day long. And I just want to talk about your skin as well. You are absolutely gorgeous. You look like, you know, a baby your mama for sure. You guys definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Your mom is so beautiful.
For so gorgeous. Sure. How did she feel about you coming on the show? And
so my mom was really supportive. My mom is... Again, like, she's my biggest confidant and she's my best friend, but she's also like me. She's not a yes man. So if she has an opinion or something, she'll disagree. But for the most part, she just like, we're like good people to have in your corner because we're just going to support you. And so she was like, okay, cool. Like, this is your next thing. You've been single for 4 years. Like, what else do you have to lose? You know, go and do the thing. So when I called her and told her that I got engaged though, she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, Mom, no, like, not wink, wink, like, for real, like, I'm gonna do this. And she was like, what, call me. So then I called her and then she was just like, okay, she's like, here goes nothing, because she knows me, like, I am very selective with everything in life, and I'm also a kind of person that's not afraid to fail. So while I don't want to get divorced, it's not on my, but you know, if I had to, I'm not ever stuck, I could, you know what I mean? So I had nothing to lose. It was jump in with both feet, take a leap of faith, have my friends and my family support me and see where this goes. And we had the best wedding, like, best time at the reception.
Let's talk about this wedding though, because that's something that Miranda and I were saying. There were so many couples going into it and only three?
Two.
Only two got married.
Two made it down the aisle.
Y'all had one of the best weddings of the whole entire show.
Raven and I basically were like,
that's what they said.
We were like, if they only had two people getting married, they must have given everyone the budget. They just gave all the budget that they were allotting for six potential couples to Ashley and Tyler and Taylor and Garrett. Oh boy. I got them.
I don't know, because some couples dropped out so close to the game, like so close to the
like
wedding.
Oh, like Marissa and Ramses.
The wedding planner.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Hannah and Nick dropped out the day we tried on dresses. So it was so close. Yeah. So I, like, things, wheels were already kind of turning for our wedding planner and things she had in motion. I just was really serious. I was like, look, you guys, I remember talking to my producers, like, I really want to do this, but if I'm going to do this, I want to do this in a way that I feel like it's my wedding day, like not a TV wedding day. Like, I want it to look and have remnants of me. So can we please just like make sure, because you know, you don't know, you don't see it. That's very scary. How are you the bride and you don't know anything? Like, you don't know what's happening. So when I walked in to my bridal suite and I was looking around, I was like, oh my God, like everything was so stunning. The venue was stunning.
Yeah.
Outside was stunning. It was like a 68 degree weather day. It was
And you had the first male bridesman. You had a bridesman, didn't you?
Yes. Tell us about it. So
first one on Love Is Blind. So that's my godbrother who was like, girl, go on the show. So he is him and my god sister. So my god sister was my maid of honor and he was my bridesman. And again, representation, right? It was really important to me. And he is also one of my closest and biggest confidants as well. And I wanted him to hold a bouquet, but he was like, all right, that's too cunt. Like, I'm not holding a bouquet. And I was like, okay. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that anyone close to me, no matter what, you know, was there on my wedding day. And also, like I said, to make sure he got the representation and that side got the representation too was really important to me.
Speaking of representation, Ashley, I have an idea to run by you. I think that we need to have a lesbian Love is Blind. And I think that I think that we need to have a lesbian Love is Blind and that Raven and I need to host it. What do you think about this idea?
Yeah. So someone else brought this up to me.
About us hosting it?
I know.
Oh, because I was like...
That's a plus.
That person had a good idea.
Right? Just about a queer, like, Love is Blind in general. And so this is the tricky part. Who, like, how, where do you put them on each side?
I understand. We've talked about it. And here's my thing. Yeah. Here's my thing about it. It's kind of like how people say they don't think that men and women can be friends. They're taking the same kind of idea and thinking that if you have like 15 lesbians, they're all going to have to fall in love with each other. No, I think that casting would have to be a little bit more detailed or specific, right? They're going to have to do a little bit more like maybe assuming like this person wouldn't really like this person. There's gonna have to be a little bit more thought,
a little bit more intention,
a little bit more matchmaking. But essentially in my mind, it's like if it's a cast of 20 people, you have 10 over here, 10 over here. And I know they want the home reality part and they want the camaraderie that the kind of the girls all form and the guys all form, but we got to finagle it and we got to let the queer Love is Blind happen.
I need a queer Love is Blind. I love y'all cisgendered people all day long, but I'm so over y'all.
It would be so good. And I think that we are Nick and Vanessa in the queer form.
Who am I?
You're Nick all day, obviously.
Let me get my hair together.
You just need a little more lip gloss on and then you're Nick. That's all. She just needs, and I just have to be like, so when are you having a baby?
Yeah, I think that a queer Love is Blind could be done. It just would need to be something that's in the questionnaire process during that 6-month-long process that they do that would be able to, unfortunately, categorize people, which we hate.
Yeah.
But just in the means of being able to make sure that you're on whatever side to find what you really need.
And that's understood.
And that's what we've talked about, too. We're like, you know, I just really want it to happen. World, come on.
Listen, that's in the future. And let's move to the future. Ashley, what is in the future for you? And how are you doing in the present?
Yeah, how has the first year of marriage been?
The first year of marriage has been so much fun. Tyler and I are best friends before anything. And because, you know, we only had 30 people or so at our wedding each. So getting to meet more family members, getting to meet more friends, celebrating holidays together, that kind of thing. Just the things that you probably would have done before getting married, we've done this year. And so it's been fun. It's like you're dating still. You know, you're married, but you're still dating and still falling in love. And that's been the exciting part this year, is just getting to know more about him, more about his family, more about me. The little things that annoy the hell out of me, you know, the things that annoy him about me, the very few things. And, you know, just the basics. I mean, like, you know, we are just like everyone else, just navigating life the best way we know how. And so this year has been enjoyable.
And the future, are you guys going to have your own reality show? Are you going to stay out of the limelight? What's the journey?
I don't want these people to bully me out of the reality world. I definitely would be open to it again. And again, I think this is kind of what you said, Raven, about just growing that thick skin. I see why some people are like that. You know, why some people do have to have a little bit of a tougher barrier in this kind of world. And so definitely just growing thicker skin but still having fun with it. You know, I think anything is possible for me, for him, together, separately. I think that us in our next stage is just us enjoying life and being excited for the opportunities that, you know, come with it I'm ready for anything.
I love that. Congratulations to you guys. It's really exciting and cool. And we obviously loved this season and our fans. And let's all raise our mugs. Even though we can't chin chin together, we can still toast. Toasting to you, cheers. Ashley. You and Tyler.
Cheers.
Cheers to
that. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for coming, Ashley.
Thank you. This is great.
Thanks, Ashley. Thank it was you so, so much. Lovely to spend this time with you.
You too.
We'll talk soon.
See ya.